Welcome to the third episode of Tag Talk with us, the Luxury Pickers, here on the Hard Sell.
Three episodes in already.
I know, this one's a day late, don't at us, I don't want to talk about it. But we're back, and that's 3 weeks in a row.
That is, well actually for that, that's like a record.
We're going to be talking today about sample sales. For anyone who doesn't know, we live record this on Instagram, so if you want to go and check it back and watch it in the physical sense of the word, then you can over on Instagram. Or if you want to join next week and get in the chat and ask questions, then do that too.
That's actually a good point. A few people have actually listened to it on the podcast and mentioned that they've gone over, because obviously we're kind of halfway through the chat, we'll kind of answer things on the fly, which maybe doesn't make so much sense if you're just listening podcast wise.
Yes.
But also, if you've got a question you want to put to us, or something you want to share in general, at least it can be popped in the chat there.
So exactly that. As a disclaimer, because it is filmed live, the chat may be disjointed as to a point.
Yes.
But it is. We're recording it so that you can have it as a reference if you ever need it as a reference.
If you listen to this now, though, obviously, it's, and clearly you know that it's not live right now, by all means, go back to the video itself, find the live on our grid, because we do save them to our Instagram grid, and you can pop a comment on the actual video and kind of give us your feelings towards what we're saying, if you agree, if you disagree, or if you just have something to add to the general conversation.
Coolios. So, let's get into it.
Let's go.
Welcome back to the smallest screen in the world.
This is very small.
I feel big today.
You feel big?
Like I'm filling the screen.
Do you?
Instagram is telling our followers we're live, but if you're not, you know, here, then that's cool too. We don't mind. Anyway, we're going to be talking about sample sales today. Before we start, I went to a charity shop for the first time in about a month today, and it was a joyous experience.
Was it though?
Yeah, I had a nice time.
You enjoyed it? You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, I had a nice time in the charity shop. Tag chat. And it was really nice. We found some run halts.
We did. Yeah. No, we found good things. Mm-hmm. Just the way you said it, I felt like, I don't know if it was like you were waiting for me to say something. I thought it was fine.
We haven't been in the charity shops in a long time.
So you felt a certain way.
It's been over a month since we have frequented one.
That's fair enough. Yeah, it's been long.
See? Thank
and
you.
It's felt long as well. I will say that. Yeah, I get it.
Hi peeps, welcome. This is recorded for the podcast, so if you want to listen back in the car, on the way to work, on the way to a charity shop, then you can.
Or just like I do, I weirdly listen to podcasts when I'm falling asleep, but the problem is I don't listen to, like, if the podcast I'm listening to is one of the ones I'm falling asleep to, is usually something just basic. I couldn't do like true crime or something.
Like wrestling.
Seems
like something I'd fall asleep to.
Yeah, and it's a snooze fest. I get it. You're hilarious. You're absolute hilarity. Hilarity even.
Thank you. Sample sales. We're talking about sample sales.
Good evening, Jazzy Pickles.
Like always, if anyone has any questions about anything else, we will answer them in the most disjointed way possible. because that's what we do. But we like to, I've decided that going forward, I'm just going to give a theme to the live show, the live, whatever this is, Monday night thing, but it's Tuesday night. All right, don't at me. And then if it just goes off piece, it goes off piece. But at least if we have a subject, then like no one has any questions and we can just yap away and someone might download it on the podcast at a later point.
Actually, it's been doing really well. I will say that, like, any time we've kind of put any kind of time or effort, which sounds really, really bad, but into it, the actual downloads are actually quite surprising, because once again, I don't know how people listen to their content. You know what I mean? I don't get it, but it works, so I'm not going
to
complain.
We also went to Dirty Dungeon, the boot sale at the weekend.
We did.
And
we'll talk about reselling meetup as well.
For this whole season, I haven't been into boot sales. Like, we've barely gone to a boot sale. And then I went to that one, and I was like, oh, I can't go to boot sales again. And now it's October.
I'm going to use one word. Mammoth would be the word.
It's humongous. Like, if anyone lives in Essex and can, like, quantify the size of this boot sale,
yeah, like,
in the comments.
If you're in the chat and you've been there, like...
No, we went to Dunton.
Dunton, and we also went to...
Sandler's.
Yeah. Was that one we went to?
So I think Dunton's, like, next to Billericay.
Yeah.
And Sanders is nearer Chelmsford.
That was a lot further. Like, Dunton was like 5-10 minutes from where we were
staying.
Wasn't
it? It was mental. Like,
it was.
We started like halfway through and then went to like the new ones. And then Austin was like, oh, should we walk down to like the ones that are already there? And I looked at the field and I was like...
And he had like doubled in size.
I think I could. And then For anyone who doesn't know, Fuzzy Feet Footwear, who organised the event, he said we drove, they went in their car and drove to the end.
Yeah. And I was like, what? And then you kind of look over your shoulder and you're like, okay,
think
fair.
Think about going to a boot sale, parking up, doing a bit, and then driving to another bit.
It was a bit mad like that, you
it
know, you're
same
right.
It was field. But we were so far away from each other.
I think as well, because we got there in the dark, like you don't really realise, it sounds funny, but you can only see so far. Like people had kind of torches on their heads. Well, yeah. Not torches, you know what I mean? Lights on their heads, the torch on their phones. And they were kind of going, but it's mad.
I'll see you soon anyway.
We'll see you soon. You know we will. Hope everything's good at your end anyway.
But that was really good. And we're going to do a haul video YouTube for that, because we got some really great stuff, and it's going to go into the Poshmark show on Saturday, like Gucci,
yeah,
and
Longchamp
and Dolce & Gabbana. So
we also picked a cracking pair of Y2K Gucci vintage sunglasses up,
yeah,
and that was thanks to Clickright.
Yeah,
so shout out
take
that guy.
No credit for that. Clickright found those.
He literally was like, "Come and see these glasses. I think they might be fake, but come and have a look anyway."
But next year, I think we're definitely going to make a trip and go back and like stay for the weekend over there and then just do them all.
Like our local, if anyone doesn't know, our local boot sale from where we are is massive. Like, so if anyone does know, it's Cheddar. And it's huge, isn't it? Like, all year round.
It's all
like
year
the summer,
round.
The summer, it bangs, and it's the biggest.
But I find down here in the Somerset, that was the worst accent I've ever done. In Somerset, that I find that people are really, like, heavy into, like, vintage antique decor.
Mm.
And I find very locally to us, we've got a very big flea market that's very popular.
And that's actually this Sunday, isn't it?
It's on the Sunday. Yeah. People might go to that. But it's very popular with antiquers and like vintage decor people.
Yes.
And we get a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, true. I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, this whole kind of neck of the woods, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
But as regards, why I'm telling you that anyway is the size of that, which I class as a very large boot sale, it was like double. Dunton was at least double, wasn't it?
It was mental.
Like, if we were, I don't know, it was very big.
But then Sandler's in the afternoon, it was like 9. That was also really good because it was smaller and it was on hard ground, but it was, I would say 90% people clearing out their like houses.
Yeah. 100%. And I actually think it was normal people. Is that what you're saying? As opposed to traders and so on.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, so we were actually talking about sample sales. We got distracted once again. Welcome to Monday/Tuesday night. Sample sales. So, for anyone who doesn't know what a sample sale is, it is a sale held that sells samples. No, originally they were that they used to sell like one-off or runway pieces or like things you couldn't get in the store, like things they couldn't necessarily
almost like trial pieces
sell, like literal samples, like a prototype.
Well, I mean, that's where the name comes from, like actual samples.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen Sex in the City, then you'll know that Carrie Bradshaw used to like line up these sample sales that used to be like a cat fight to the bitter end.
In America, I think it was more of a like a massive thing. That's where it started. Like we only started kind of getting them the filters through the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, 100%. But they've developed a lot in the past few years, and after I think it was the second one or the first one, someone asked us about sample sales, so I thought we'd talk about sample sales. And I was talking to Fashionably Eco over the weekend, who is a style icon. Just
she was, right? A 10 out of 10. Her coat was like
about sample sales, so I wanted to talk about them more in depth. Before I do, as Essex is well known for people liking designer clothes, is that reflected in the boot sales? 100%.
Yes, Leah. Yes, thanks
for
asking.
There is like a crossover between when I say there's a lot of counterfeit pieces, there are a lot of counterfeit pieces.
There was.
But I'm talking like things that you like, not I rarely see, but like you rarely see like. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't just like a Gucci handbag or fake designer sunglasses.
We saw everything from like there was a fake Rolex with a box. There was like socks. There were tights. Like it was just like it wasn't just your kind of what I'd call like normal kind of turkey fakes or just a bag here or a bag there.
No, it was like thought about buying a fake that I wanted to dupe off. Does that make sense?
Even like majority of them were like maybe fakes you wouldn't even know. Not so much you would know they were fakes, but they were more like, you know, usually fakes are made based on something that's really, really popular, okay? And that's why they fake them. or they're really expensive. These were fakes of things which most people wouldn't know about.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So it was kind of like almost like a fashionista's fake.
But it was really important as well. I say it to people all the time. If someone's got a lot of fakes and it, like, they're clearing out their house or whatever, if it's a trader that's just selling fakes, then this doesn't apply. But like, if it's someone's clearing out their house and they have fakes, it means generally that they have a like or want for designer items. So very often there is a mix of authentic and counterfeit.
Yeah, I think we've said it 1,000 times before, but don't ever be put off by fakes. Like Bethany said, unless it's like an actual, like, almost market-esque store of, like, fakes, which, you know, just move on, unless that's your thing. This is kind of, with the stores where people are selling their own stuff or kind of lots of different bits and pieces, or even a house clearance, what you'll find is most of the time, if you're that into fashion or bags or accessories or whatever it might be, or even just brands, you usually find people will have one or two authentic pieces, even if they have a lot of fakes or knockoffs. And the mad thing is, where we found the good stuff was actually on stores which also had, like, for example, I spoke about those sunglasses I mentioned earlier. The Clickrite spotted and said, go and have a look. Next to them was the worst fake pair of Gucci shades you could find. Yeah. And these weren't, it's just insane. I think sometimes don't be put off if you see a fake on a table and think, oh, well, they must be fake because of X. Try and do a bit of research, because you can really come up at boot sales with stuff like that.
But we'll show you tomorrow. But like, we walked into the second boot sale and there was just some Mulberry handbags sitting there. And then on the next door, there was another one.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, there was a difference in price. There was a different price point between the two, but it was mental. Yes, you need to put fashion icon
definitely,
in your bio.
Definitely.
Everyone go and follow Fashion Eco, just if you want pure, just unadulterated style tips.
And joy.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to sample sales. So from our personal experience of sample sales, we've actually worked at sample sales. So I wanted to talk about it from the perspective of buying from sample sales and how you can utilise buying from sample sales to resell or for your own personal collection, but also from our perspective of having worked at them and how, like, the inner workings work.
I was going to say, just bear in mind, we've been to multiple sample sales to buy, but also more so, which I guess is more interesting for the point of this this live and this podcast, is the fact that we have worked them many times, and that's like you just said, that's totally different. It's a different way of viewing it, because you see, to start, most sample sales run for maybe either run kind of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or sometimes they'll run from a Tuesday to a Friday. It just depends. What I'm saying is that there's multiple days, and explain what that can mean.
What can it mean? What, from a perspective of buying
stock? So if I'm coming to buy a piece, for example, right?
So I find it interesting from this perspective, as working in the high end, because obviously high street shops do sample sales now, in terms of like Lazy Oaf and things like that. They do sample sales, and sort of like smaller, more niche brands do sample sales, like Ganny's done some sample sales. But if we're talking in like from the perspective of a higher end brand, the things to point out for me is, okay, so how do I say this? Sample sales now is very much what I would consider outlet stock.
Yeah, okay.
So it's an abundance of things that have been overproduced, undersold, or undersold, or old stock. So like stock that's been sitting, maybe they've had it at previous sample sales and it hasn't sold. I know from the perspective of Mulberry, they used to, every year, they used to sort of look and see what they have multiple quantities of, never mind when it was produced, and pull it in. So people would be like, oh my God, they've got the Alexa from 2011. Do you know what I mean?
So the head basically of buying, and although they're not selling also, but the head of buying would usually work out, for example, in an outlet, let's use Mulberry as the example. If they had like 150 small green leather card holders, right, which weren't necessarily very popular because they've been out for maybe a year and a half or 2 years, and they've sold like, I don't know, 25, 30 units. And when you think of a company like Mulberry, for example, everyone thinks, oh, they sell hundreds and thousands of units. You'd be surprised. Some bags, they probably go for maybe, I don't know, something. What I'm talking about, when they go for, what I'm saying is how many get sold. Might only be like 25, 30, 40 units before it's discontinued because it just sucked. And I say sucked, with all due respect, I'm not saying it was a bad item, I'm saying it didn't sell. And the purpose of an item, hey Ross, the purpose of an item is to sell, right?
Yeah.
So what would happen is, like I just said, the head of kind of merchandising, if you want, would look how many would have been sold. If like maybe 30 had been sold, you had 150 left within the kind of company, and there's maybe a couple at each store, if that, or maybe 10 at each store, they would kind of recall some of them, or they would go to the warehouse, and basically they would offer them for sale in the sample sales, basically to get offload a chunk of stock which they really didn't want in the business anymore, get some money back, recoup some funds, and cover costs.
So I was just seeing my new best friend,
Little Marie.
Oh, yeah. I swear these people is honestly the best.
So
people.
So nice. And Peter, no?
Yeah, go and follow them too. They're like, oh, I love them in the so chat. Much. Anyway,
genuinely lovely people. So many good people, honestly.
And I found as well what Mulberry did at their sample sales in particular is they would take an iconic bag, say for example the Lily, which is the small with the postman's lock, and they would make it in sheets of leather that they had an abundance of.
Yeah.
So like colours that hadn't been successful in the past years, and they've got rolls and rolls of excess leather, they would produce iconic bags in that leather for the sample sale. And I think from the perspective that they wanted it to be like a sample sale exclusive.
Yes, exactly.
But from
that.
A collector's point of view, it was sort of like the Frankensteins.
Yeah, so if for example, I don't know, electric blue, I'll give you an example, electric blue. Electric blue leather was used on a Chester, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd made this specific color, this specific blue for the Chester. There wasn't anything else, but they had a lot of this leather left. What you'd find is they'd make, for example, either iconic bags like the Bayswater or something like that, or they'd make small leathers like purses and wallets and belts.
Yeah.
Not belts so much, but you would find it every now and then, but it'd be more like, basically, things which are easy and small to make, and they could make, like, if you have a lot of leather left, which sounds like a really silly problem for a massive company like that to have, but it happens. That's just literally what happens. And they would make them, and they'd make these wallets. So, for example, when you see wallets at a sample sale for, like, £25, most of the time, and these wallets are really nice leather, they're really nice, they're well made, but it's made because, basically, you're buying the, not cast-offs, but the excess product from the materials which they have, and because they have the craftspeople, I guess you'd say, men and ladies, right through the company, they have them there to make. So they would just get so many made, shot off, and then send them sample sale.
In your opinion, is it value for money sample sales? I mean, because they're not cheap. So sample sales are actually more expensive than people think. So like I said before, they're actually more, especially high-end brands that don't have sales or outlet centres, they're seen as an outlet. So most of them will be at outlet prices for a high-end brand, so which is a minimum of 33% off. Obviously, this can be higher, but when you're getting a bag that's originally $8.95 and you're getting 33% off, there isn't reason sell in it, particularly unless it's a really desired shape, but then it probably won't be a sample sale because those ones have sold out or they're keeping them for full price stock.
The value really comes in when, I guess, like you just said, when you, if you're purchasing for yourself and it's something you've had your eye on,
or you're being smart. So
hit me with it. What do you mean?
Sample sales do still stock samples. So if you go on the first day, there will be samples.
Yes.
So for me, I collect Mulberry samples. So I would go first day to get bag designs that were produced for editorials or runway that weren't then rolled out into mainline. So Mulberry did a series of handbags for catwalk, and a lot of them will be in the materials that match like the clothing, etc. And then they weren't produced for stores. So there would be one or two of them, one for like the editorial shoot or one for the runway. And they would put those into the sample sale.
Yep.
Now, they would be at an escalated price. It'd be probably at more than the other variants of their colourway.
Yep.
However, it will literally be a one-of-one, one-of-two situation. So from that perspective, if you're going to buy samples, then obviously it's a great investment depending on what you're buying. So if you're buying a sample, so if you're going to an outlet and getting a sample, exotic skin, for example, I keep saying example.
You've said example a
lot. Yeah, I know, I keep saying example. But if you get an exotic skin and it's at a reduced rate than it would be at retail because they only made one for retail,
yep,
then is worth the money you're paying if you sit on it for an investment purpose.
Yep.
The other way to best get your value for money out of sample sales is to go for things that traditionally you maybe wouldn't go to the brands for. So when it comes to Mulberry, as an example, shoes were always so cheap. So Mulberry shoes actually retail very high, and I will never guess it, but they retail extremely high.
The reason they retail so high is because the majority of their footwear at the time, and even more so now, it was made in Italy, and the cost to make footwear in Italy is like, it's luxe. That's what it is, luxury, okay?
And they didn't make huge numbers of them, right?
No, so obviously, like anything, the more you make, the cheaper it becomes, right? So you're making in Italy one, you're not making mass quantities two, so both those things are factors in the cost. You add premium materials, fabrics, and craftsmanship. That's this massive money. The mad thing is, to give you an example, if a pair of shoes would have retailed maybe, I don't know, at the time, maybe 325, 350,
yeah,
more like 450, 500 now. So let's give an example of back then, when we're talking probably about 5, 6, 7, no, maybe like, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. If a pair in store was 350 or 345, they would have gone to sample sale for
about 90% off.
They would be so cheap. You'd get them for probably 35, 40 quid
for a pair of shoes from Mulberry.
And bear in mind,
brand new.
These are brand new. Once again, when we talk about sample sales, it's not all samples. So these were brand new shoes, which would have eventually gone to outlet, or possibly had been in outlet, and then recalled for the sample sale.
Because Mulberry's known for handbags, so. In terms of, I found when I worked there personally that the clothes and the shoes were an upsell or a cross sell. And there was on a rare occasion that someone will come in for clothes or shoes. They were mainly looking for handbags, right?
Yep.
So they sold less quantities of those things. They were literally like build an outfit, add on pieces. So every pair of shoes was under £100, I would say. And then the shoes and the clothing. Clothing also very cheap at some
like sales. Like crazy cheap.
When it comes to the right brands. But if you're going for at the moment, there's a Joseph sample sale on. I'll tell you where you can find sample sales in a minute. There's a Joseph sample sale on, and t-shirts are starting at £85 in Joseph. So, but they're a clothing brand. Now, if you go to a Joseph sample sale, and I went to one about 2 years ago, I bought them with me, they're in the other room. I bought a pair of full leather tri-strap sandals, and I paid £17. Okay. So it depends if you are savvy and you go to a sample sale and don't look for what you think you should look for,
then savings can be made. So what we're saying is, if you're going to a sample sale, ideally, listen, if you're going to, for example, a Mulberry sample sale, I want to buy a Bayswater, you'll get it cheaper than retail, right? For sure you will. If you're looking to get it for like a couple £100, not going to happen. What I would say is, if you want to fill your boots and buy some, you could probably come away with a belt, some shoes, probably some clothing items, a purse, a card holder, and you probably wouldn't pay much more than a couple hundred quid for all that, which retail, you're probably looking at about nearly £1,000.
Yeah.
You agree?
It depends what you're looking for and what you're looking. I think if you're going, like, for example, if you're going to a Mulberry sale and you think that all the handbags are going to be dirt cheap, no, because they can get the money for the handbags. So it's the other things that are going to be dirt cheap, and there's value in Mulberry new clothing, there's value in Mulberry new shoes, there's value in, and small leathers, there's definitely value in, because they're accessible pickup point things. I mean, there's also a limit on how many pieces you buy because of resellers. But if you're buying, for example, you're buying like 5 card holders for £30, and normally on the last day there may be an additional discount, like you buy
five talk about
pieces,
that now.
You get an extra discount. But if you're buying 5 of those, you can sell easily. You can sell each piece at £100. So there is percentage, but you need to have a bit more capital than going to a jazz shop, but then you're getting new.
I would also say you've got to have some kind of knowledge of the brand. And we're using Mulberry as an example because, well, most of the time we do. But this goes like, we went to, like Bethany said, we went to a Joseph sample sale more recently. Someone asked earlier as well, especially because how do you find out about sample sales?
I was going to talk about that in depth.
Okay, well, we can do that in a minute then. But what I was going to say was, going back quickly to the Mulberry example, why I mentioned how many days they run for sometimes. So usually the first day, like Bethany said, you'll have the more kind of unusual items.
Yeah.
So if if you're really a fan of that brand and you're looking for something specific, I would say get your butt in there first thing, mm-hmm. the first day. However, they do put stock out because once again, so for example, they'll have so much stock. If they're going to do 2-3-4 day event, they'll have so much stock. They'll be putting stock out every day. The stock, from my opinion, from all the sample sales I've been part of, and I've been part of quite a few, the stock will pretty much remain the same. It will be like, if they have, for example, 20 of a certain bag, they'll put 10 up the first day, 5 the second. They'll stagger it. So it won't be like, okay, all today it's just this bag. Or it makes no sense. You want to sell as much as you can, so you get as much individual product items out as you can, not necessarily units, right? So on that basis, the only benefit, though, on the flip side of going right at the very end, is they always heavily discount again because they're one shot. They've spent time, effort, money to get you into that room.
But not the core pieces.
No. They'll never, as I say, they'll never be that madly cheap. So don't, once again, don't expect they're like, you know, if you're,
expect
I don't know.
Expect 30% off, like, whatever the brand sell as a main focus point.
And then basically pick up whatever else they do around it. And that's where you get your discounts, your bargains, and your real steals. Like, we saw things like Bethany said, 90% was a regular thing, but not on the key items. The other thing to mention as well is, although I say go, you're kind of talking at the very beginning and the very end, we've done that. We've done that whole thing where you go literally, for example, if it starts on a Tuesday, it's usually a Tuesday because it runs 3 or 4 days and then finish on the Friday. We've done the Monday first thing, and then we've done the Friday, and the price difference is actually quite, like, they're mad. The only thing I would say, which I find a bit naughty, which is kind of, I guess, a peek behind the curtain, is every individual piece, which was kind of like iconic, which may be, on some of the sample sales, they'll sell maybe with a slight default, or, there'll be maybe a mark, or it was a shop floor, mm-hmm. Issued piece. So basically it'd been used on the shop floor display. Those have massive, massive discounts, right? But I'll tell you now, anyone who works for the company or who works the sample sales get access to that before the doors even open. I bought 4 or 5 bags, cheap. And on top of the price,
discount,
I was just going to say, on top of the prices, which would have been maybe, say, for example, a Piccadilly, which is basically a massive Bayswater. It's a travel piece, but it's like this big. It's like huge. Mm. It looks like a huge, huge, huge Bayswater. The same as MS do with the Birkin. They do the travel sizes. They were like, at the time, like 1,100. Now they would be something more like, I don't know, just under 1,900. I was paying, I think it was £200 for it, but I got my 50% Moby discount on it, on the employee discount, so I paid like £100. This is for a bag at the time, which was like well over £1,300.
It is limited though, like it's like 2 bags.
No, there was no limit on sample sales at all. No, because once again, they'll let the pieces gone.
But I did go to a Paul Smith sample sale. I've been to a couple of Paul Smith sample sales. And they were a bit unhinged because there was no limits whatsoever.
Yes.
So all small levers, all bags were under £5. I paid my hats that I've been wearing for years, the ones that literally look like they're on their last legs of death. I paid £10 each, and they're £250 retail hats.
These were boxed and they were like, they came perfect in their proper packaging. It wasn't like they were, you know, once again, I'll reiterate certain things. And I think that goes back to what I just said about things you expect from the brand. Their suits are mad money in sample sale. They're expensive still, because Paul Smith's known for suits, right?
Yeah.
But hats, for example, not that they're not great and they're not like amazing quality, but they're not known for, Paul Smith aren't known for hats. So when they make these things, they do have extra stock, which once again coincides with what we just said.
People resell them for £100 a piece. Like, I've been trying to replace my hats for years. So where you can find out about sample sales. So they're not actually a secret. There are a couple of high-end echelon, is that a word?
Yeah, upper echelon.
Yeah, brands that don't run sales. So interestingly enough, if you ever see some luxury brands, if you ever see them in sale, it will be because the stock is sold to a department store, or they have to fall in line with a department store's terms and conditions and run a sale. But most higher end brands don't run sales.
So for example,
Gucci don't have a sale, Louis Vuitton don't have a sale.
I was just going to give you an outline now. Gucci's a great example because it's sold in department stores as well, for example, like flannels, okay, or Selfridges or whatever else. So unless they have like an actual store in the store, which once again, in flannels, they don't. Flannels sell Gucci. They can sell, for, I'll give you an example, Gucci Aces trainers, for example, or a Dionysus bag. They can sell that for whatever they want to. They buy a wholesale from Gucci directly, which basically in turn means that once they own that thing, they don't have to agree to any specific price guarantees. Yeah. You don't have to go to an RRP.
No, when
eventually, especially this happens even more so with kind of like seasonal pieces. So when a wallet's been out for so long in a certain color and they just want to get rid of that stock, they will drop and drop and drop and drop and drop. Sometimes in plans, you get some real great bargains for that exact reason. Gucci have no say in it, and Gucci may only ever drop their prices by 33%, which would be at outlet level. And yeah, once again, they don't have a lot of outlets either, so that doesn't happen a lot.
They have one in the UK.
Yep. Is that what you're saying to me?
One in the UK, Bicester Village.
Bicester Village, yeah.
And then a lot of the high-end designer stores have outlets, but they produce stock for outlets, just like they produce stock for sample sales. It's the same thing. So then they don't have to technically discount their previously mainline pieces.
The problem for me comes with this kind of stuff, and this is where we've talked about kind of outlets and so on before, and kind of made for outlets, even we did the kind of Bicester Village documentary last year. And, you know, the mad thing is, most of the stock, as Bethany just said, in sample sales is outlet stock. The difference is a lot of the people going to, for example, if you're just a loose kind of person who you're like, oh, it's Mulberry, it's really expensive, I know, I'm going to try a sample sale, you wouldn't necessarily know the difference between an outlet piece and a full price piece. Well, the main difference is obviously outlet pieces are always sold at a discount. So if they're made for outlet, they're a lot cheaper to start with. There's nothing necessarily worse or bad about them, but I'm saying as regards residual value, like I would know now if you showed me a bag from, I don't know, 2015, 2014, 2016, 2012, whatever, I would be able to tell you if it was a retail piece which went in full price stores, or it was an outlet piece which would have gone in outlet or sample sales, and that makes it cheaper for me to want to purchase and also to resell.
So, but then there's brands like Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Hermes, Goyard, I think brands like that who don't have sales, categorically don't have sales, and they also don't have outlets.
Yes.
Chanel previously had an outlet in, was it New York?
They had one in New York years and years and years ago.
However, under French law, every retail unit has to run annual sales. So they have to get round these by doing sample sales. So Hermes is the biggest offender of this, or not offender, is the biggest sort of like person who does this. So they have a sample sale. I mean, you've probably seen, if you're into sort of high-end fashion, you've probably seen clips of people like with masses of like orange bags and stuff coming out of sample sale. Yeah. Hermes sample sales is invite only, and it's normally to the people that spend the most money throughout the year. You can get into it other ways, but it's who you know, not what you know.
Which, once again, I think is in itself is interesting. So, for example, most brands, even luxury brands, apart from the kind of upper echelon ones Bethany just mentioned, they kind of will send emails out, like you asked about how would you get into them. Mulberry, for example, sell emails like once, twice a year, telling you exactly where it is. They don't hide it. They want you to go there. They want to off that stock. Because I think whether you're what they call a high-end client or you're kind of a mid-range client, the truth of the matter is they want you to buy, right? The difference is, though, anyone can go to those. You don't need an invitation. Sometimes you need to you add yourself on Eventbrite or something like that, but there's no actual you have to spend or whatever. The difference with Chanel and Hermes, because they legally have to do them, they're so selective. They're not going to let any, with all due respect, they're not going to get the lady who spends, you know, 300,000, 400,000, a million a year. The person who just wants to buy one item at the sample sale, they have no interest in that client. They want to build a rapport, they want to make money with that person, and they want to sell constantly to that person. So they send invites out to only the biggest spenders.
And then just to clarify, they don't just have Birkins sitting in there.
No.
It's scarves, ready-to-wear, shoes, small accessories.
Seasonal things.
Mm. So when it comes to actual sample sales in the UK, I have two places that I recommend above all. I'm actually going to look them up right now and tell you what they've got on at the moment, and then I'll put them in my stories afterwards.
Cool.
So the Piano Rooms in London, both the places I'm going to recommend are in London.
Yep.
London is the place.
That's usually because to be quite frank, it's easier to get people through the door in London than anywhere else in the whole of the UK.
Yeah.
Whether you're into it, whether you're not, whether you're walking past and you tap one of your friends, you're going for a drink, and you're like, you know what, they got a so-and-so around the corner. And the mad thing is, we were told to ask if we were wandering around and people were asking questions, which was like one of the weirdest things ever, because you're walking around kind of fully kitted out in your company gear. They would ask questions, and we were told to ask, oh, where did you hear about it? How did you come across it? Because from our point of view, if it was all like, oh, we just got an email, they didn't have to do anything else. If it was word of mouth, then they needed to start doing more advertising across the board, more physical advertising, if you will.
So it's called the Music Room. So the Music Room in London, it's just off of, it's near Brown's, isn't it? Where it's just off of...
There's a tube right next to it, pretty much.
It's quite central, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very central.
But it's called the Music Room. The next one they have coming up is M-Pill. The cashmere brand, the woolen goods brand.
Just give an example quickly, throw it out there. A retail cashmere sweater from M-Pill would be...
Oh my goodness, he's put me on the spot, as per usual. M-Pill. I'm not going to misquote.
Well, that's fair enough. I'm just saying I want to give a good representation.
Cashmere.
Because this is a good example. M-Pill won't really... They won't make overstock.
They have an outlet, M-Pill.
There you go.
So just a basic cashmere, like hoodie is £95, £85. And then they go up to like the chunkier versions, the £700.
Yep.
So it depends. They were kids ones. Beg pardon. So kids ones are 100 and adults ones are between 700 and £900. Right? Yeah, yeah. Literally South Mountain Street near Bond Street.
Yep.
And the Music Rooms, so...
Yeah, the Bond Street tube is literally like, you can, it's a 2 second walk from the tube.
And you can just apply, you can just apply, if you go to the website, the Music Room sample sales, you can subscribe and they will send you emails for when they're on. So ones we've missed, LK Bennett.
Yep.
So they were probably, LK Bennett, I would suggest, would be probably very good for shoes and small accessories.
Yep.
Because they're well known for their dresses, but they probably wouldn't have a huge discount on them because people are going there to get a discount on the dresses.
And this is why I say, if you're looking to get an LK Bennett dress cheaper, you'll get it cheaper for sure. If you're looking to pay pounds and pennies for things, for their accessories.
I went to a Stella McCartney underwear sale and I bought...
that was madness, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were £1 a piece.
And these are like between £50 and £200 a piece usually.
Yeah, and then they had all those sleepwear. So they also missed Ralph Lauren, DKNY and Kate Spade sleepwear. The designer multi-brand sale. Now, the designer multi-brand sales are normally a third party. So some...
George?
Some designer department stores, mainly flannels and... sell off their end of stock. So they'll send it to auction. So you know when TK Maxx get their stock, they buy it from a third party auction or a third party supplier who bought it at auction.
Like any wholesaler would in mass.
Yeah, so just like when we, if you sell wholesale, whatever, your wholesaler probably bought it from an auction at some point, okay? Unless they're actually the manufacturers of the clothing, they probably bought it from auction. And the designer multi-brand sale is basically when these people that have bought loads of stuff from auction, they'll just shove it all in one room, basically. So we went to one who specialised in Joseph, but they also had a designer multi-brand. And they had rails and rails and rails of Vetements.
Acne. Balenciaga.
Alexander McQueen, yeah. Couture. And it was all damaged stock. So it was all...
It was floor pieces, wasn't it?
Yeah, some had literally had, like, the floor on them.
Like, it was
some
literally, like, a white coat with dust
floors
and... Yeah,
or whatever. Exactly. But they weren't cheap, I tell you that for cheap.
Well, like, they'd have makeup on the collar, which had been tried on.
But designer multi-brands, well, you'll have the most selection of stuff, and you'll probably get the best discounts because...
That's a good point.
It's normally, like, third parties that want to... sell a lot, you know what I mean?
What Bethany means by that is, what if we just said, like, Morbi, for example, the outlet price for the same as sample sales, right? They're selling it, so it's in their best interest to keep that kind of level of pricing. Whereas the people who have bought a bulk lot auction and just going to do a general sample sale, they know how much they've paid, and they're like, do you know what? By day three, this has to go. We have no interest in putting it back in stores because we don't have the stores.
So this
we've just bought it.
This,
you know?
One was accessories, jewellery, ready to wear, women's wear, brand featured Alibre, Be Kind, D. Louise, East. Louisa Paris is double R, that's why I said it like that. Sea Folly, Free Graces. I'm pretty sure they make candles, don't they? No, they don't. That's a complete lie. I'm sure they do homeware. And then really, really randomly at the end, vintage sunglasses, exclusive unworn vintage sunglasses and frames from a bygone age, because it was just the stuff they picked up in an auction.
And you just never know. You just never know. So this once again, they're paying. These people have paid to kind of hire out, if you want, an outlet or a sale outlet, I should say. Yeah. When I mean outlet, I don't mean as in outlet shopping. I mean as they've basically said, right, we're going to pay you the rent for 3 or 4 days, you hire the staff, you do this, you do that, and we will just bring the stock in, you sell as much as you can, here's the prices, let's go. As opposed to, that would be a kind of more like a private situation.
But it's okay.
And then when you have someone like we said, like Mulberry or maybe a more well-known like company would do it themselves, their own staff, their own product, basically like a little kind of pop-up outlet with kind of cheaper versions of their stock.
So we've got Ardham, who do mainly florals in their design work. Alexandra Miro, we saw an Alexandra Miro swimsuit in a previous Posh show. Dear Francis, it's also a really good opportunity just going through this list on the website.
Brands.
Is learning brands. Dear Francis, who's heard of Dear Francis? But I bet it's expensive.
And look what's up there. Joseph sample sale.
Ladies showroom clearance. Let's click on that. So you get these random ones that are literally third party.
Look at the brands.
So we got a huge ladies wear selection of Cochonelle, I can never say it. Cochonelle. Hartford, which do a lot of cashmere. Reno and Pell do. They're well known for brassieres. Pom and Sedan. Clearance up to 90%.
There you go.
So you want the best ones to go to are these sort of third party ones that have just a huge selection of everything. And book the weekend off, right? You can do charity shopping at the same time up in London or whatever you want to do. Book the weekend off and go to the first day, go to the last day. Jay Lindberg.
The other thing is, with Bethany just said, she makes a great point about these kind of more what I call independent sample sales, right? They can be in the same place as the legit ones. The differences are, though, as I just said, they have no bottom line. They paid X for the stuff. They need to get rid of it quickly. And in their eyes, the best way to do that is get as many people as they can in the centre of London and sell it. Now, one of the best things about that is, when you think about it, is you get massive clothes that they aren't even legally, it's not illegal, but they're not authorised to sell. So you might find, like we've been to some sample sales, which is categorised as like a high-end high street. All of a sudden, you'll get a rail of madness luxury brands for nothing. And that's because those pieces have just been added to it. And it's like, well, we're here. No one's going to say no to it. No one's reporting me for selling an item.
So they're advertising just for interest, in case there's like anything you're interested in. We've got Joseph, we've got Bellstaff, we've got Bellstaff's
mad money.
Oscar De La Renta, La Perla, Monica Vinder, the jewelry maker, Smithson, Ardham, Whistles.
Whistles, there you go.
Shrimps,
like mad.
Peter Pilotto, Roscander, Hobbs, Linda Farrow, Jake, Preen, Margaret Howell. Loads of stuff. Orla Keeley, Lulu Guinness, Rupert Sanderson, Lululemon, Harry's of London, like the Phase 8.
Just good news. Some of my favourite shoes.
Needle Fred.
Even if you just want to, learn some more brands, right? Just go on their website. And what I would say is add yourself to the mailing list, because you might get 100 emails which you think, oh, that's a load of rubbish. You'll get one you're like, I'm going. Or I'm in London for that time.
If you've got cash and you want to invest, they're the place to be. The other place that I highly recommend for finding out about sample sales is The Box. Now, The Box is Instagram. You can go and find them on Instagram. The Box London. And it is a space, and they specialise in sample sales. They're in Hackney. And they advertise very well on Instagram. So they do, once again, we've got a Joseph's on at the moment, I believe. And what they do is stories to show you what sort of stuff is there. So they've got a lot of blazers.
Can you show the screen now, just quickly?
They've got a lot of blazers, they've got leathers, they've got knits, and they just give you a sample of the sort of stuff they've got in.
Fashion Amigo is saying The Box always has massive lines outside. That's why.
Yeah.
Also, they change their stock pretty much constantly. So even if it's 3 or 4 days worth of one brand, the stock will change. And I say that, they might be the same product, but size will change, maybe colours will change. And sometimes, what we had a few times in Mulberry actually, was because you did you did unexpectedly well the first couple of days and you got 2 or 3 days left, we had to call from different places to get extra stock because you paid for the rent. The rent's massive in London. The whole situation is massive cost. So they're not just going to say, okay, well, we saw anything, let's just pack up.
Yeah.
You've got to sell stuff. So then they will call all the different stores, see what they can get, and you end up with some madness items for very good prices.
The box is very, what I call, contemporary. So they've really branded themselves really well and they're very, like, the place
they're known for
sample sales.
Yeah, I agree.
And I do highly recommend. I follow a lot of personal shoppers. If anyone's really deep in it and want to know the personal shoppers, then just DM me and I'll let you know. We follow a lot of personal shoppers that actually go to them and film.
Oh, they make mad money there as well.
So, for example, I wanted some stuff from Vivian Westwood one last year. I couldn't get there, so I watched a personal shopper and I bought via them. They charge like a commission of like 20% or something.
They will FaceTime you from the event as well, because originally they had people stopped using mobile phones. You weren't allowed. Mm. And basically, because of the advent of like the phones being so much better nowadays, people will walk around and you can shop with people. You pay a premium, but if you think the money you're saving, for a lot of people, it's a lot of, like, we did it a few times for people when we were there for ourselves buying. They would say, is there any so and so? And I'd say, do you know what? I can show you now. Boom, boom, boom.
I'm just going to answer this question. So, will brand specific sale have staff who know the brand, and a third party sale will just have someone who isn't necessarily know so much?
Yes.
So yeah, so basically when Mulberry did it, for example, because that's the last big one I worked, they basically pulled at least 2 members of staff from every store.
Yeah.
And you got to the people rotated who went. I mean, not always, but
I went every year.
I didn't physically work one. I had to go. You went every year and I just went.
Guys, you got the skills to pay the bills. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's because you were a man.
That's what I'm saying.
My skills are based off my sex. Was the only man.
That's it. It was easy.
So it was like a commodity.
Unfortunately. I was used, guys. I was used.
But the third party ones will have agency. You know, like when you work as a waiter for a wedding and you're like on the books and it's cash in hand, 50 quid if you can come and do a wedding. It's agency stuff.
Truthfully, you're the best. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But if you work for the companies and it's a company-based one, like, we were paid for hotels, we were paid for transport, we were paid for, like, anything you can imagine, food, like, the whole thing. Plus, you got paid to do the thing. And then, once again, you got your 50% off of their already mad prices before the actual place opened. It was a good deal.
Chris wants to know how many Ralph Lauren hats you have.
Too many. I don't want to go into it, Chris. It's a problem. We don't need to talk about it.
In the summer, he washes them and leaves them outside to fade.
Yeah, these aren't these are both not faded.
He likes
yet.
Them faded down. He buys red ones so that they fade to pink. That's what he does.
Ralph don't do a great
before
pink. It's always
them.
Too neon. It's always too neon.
Anyway, sample sales.
sorry, guys.
So I think to recommend sample sales is like the biggest thing I'd recommend. I think if you're just dipping your toes in, the high-end ones may scare the living bejesus out of you, but if you want to go to one just to enjoy it, people do get very serious. It gets a bit jumble saily, like sharp elbows, yeah. But if you want to like dip your toes in, I would go to one of the, they're very busy, but I would go to one of the sort of more high street brands, like an LK Bennett one, if you're not interested in LK Bennett, like a Paul Smith one or a multi designer one.
I'll say I worked for a lot of different luxury companies, a lot of different environments, and sample sales were always the worst. People were horrendous and their attitude stunk. I'm going to say that out loud, but by the same token, I get it. It's like, it's a madness. It's like boot sales, isn't it? Like, people are crazy because they're trying to get those bargains from themselves. So I get it.
You have to give your bag in and your coat in before you're allowed to enter the.
You can't take
one.
Any bags in.
Yes, the designer ones, you have to have, you leave your stuff in the cloakroom and you have to take your like phone and your purse in your hand.
If you got a big coat, they won't let you in. Like, if you want to take it off, and it sounds really bad, but it's because basically, obviously, there's so much stock everywhere, it will just be so easy to kind of fill the whole situation, yeah, yeah. You know.
Sanctuary shops host sample sales in London, and some of the proceeds go to charity. That's I have cool. seen some of those, and I've seen like the closed event ones.
Yeah.
There is actually one, honestly, there's one in, before the summit last year, there was one in Derby at the conference centre.
Was that actually?
It was a charity runway show, but they were taking their best stock, the charity shops.
You're
from the
right,
area,
actually.
And you could sell, and they could buy them.
Because we got there the night before, and in actual fact, they were doing that, they were setting up that night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
So it's interesting, the best advice I can give is subscribe. Mulberry actually have one.
Not to us, to them.
I just had one on in London that we didn't go to because it coincided with the Essex meetup, so we sacrificed, okay? Hmm. But they did a pre-owned one.
They did.
They did a Mulberry pre-owned bags, and we supplied them with bags for that.
So we've spoken about it before. They've been buying a lot on Vestiaire. They've been buying a lot via eBay. and basically resend them on their website. You can go on mobi.com right now and buy pre-owned bags, which I know some people might be shocked at. Mm-hmm. The mad thing is, in actual fact, though, they pushed out the sample sale, and what they found is, I think there's certain items they bought and thought, oh, great, that looks really nice condition, we can have that, we'll put it on the website, and no one buys it because no one's interested, because they have to pay those mad prices, which Mobi are looking for, when they can buy it on the used market a lot cheaper. So I think when some of those cases, they don't work, they pass it on to sample sale, and they don't lose, they're never going to lose on it. But the reality is, then at least they can kind of out it without getting too much trouble financially.
I went to a Rafa sample sale.
Yeah, the Rafa one was amazing.
Trek, the cycling company, did a sample sale. Their European office warehouse at MKK. We got advertised at work, included bikes. Yeah, so a lot of places also do sample sales at their offices. So if they're a smaller brand or...
It was very well managed. Interesting.
A bigger brand that have the space, they will run them actually at their premises. And that is normally a subscription basis, and obviously you would have to be subscribed to the website or whatever, because they'll send it to people that have obviously been on the website and enjoy the brand enough to subscribe to the website, thinking that they, you know, they would probably be their core audience.
Yeah,
so it's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't it?
Like, yeah, and I think once again, if you're one of those people who don't really mind emails, and you get emails constantly from different brands you kind of happen to have bought from once in your entire life, I would say do it, sign up. Like, the worst that happens, one day you get an inbox message and someone says you can actually get the stuff you love really, really cheap. Mm-hmm. What I would say, Rosha just said then, it was very well managed. What's really interesting, I think, is I don't know if it's maybe a fashion thing. I don't know if it's maybe just the cost involved, because I know some of the Trek cycling stuff is mad money. But I also think that sometimes across the board, I just think it's like, I don't know, I just think it's very different when you're kind of in that space. What do you have to say? Anything? Anything to say?
No.
My bad. So yeah, I just think sometimes that there is a case where the situation is kind of led in, as much as that is, I don't know. Like, I just think fashion always different. It just always is. It's always, I just think there's more, we saw arguments. There was, no, I wouldn't say fist fights, but there was a lot of that kind of stuff, you know?
Always is literally a luxury jumble sale. But
yeah,
not.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
But like, I was buying knitwear pieces for £30 a piece at Mulberry, from like reduced down from like £8.95. I've never paid over £50 for a pair of shoes from a sample sale.
Think about that.
I would like to go to the Vivienne Westwood one in person.
We've never been there in person, you're right.
Do you know what would be really cool? Bicester Village did a massive sample sale, just like in Bicester.
Yeah, because once again, like, I guess half the problem is that most of it's already out of stock anyway.
Yeah, but with like a massive sale there.
Yeah,
like,
I suppose.
In Bicester.
I think if anyone's been to any or has any experiences, please put in the comments. But I just think it's an interesting topic, because a lot of people, I think, yeah... maybe it's that, because I'll be honest, most of the sample sales I've worked for have been in London, and I think maybe it's a different, I'm not saying that people in London are bad, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, I think people travel to London because it's so kind of busy.
I think you can be just as savvy shopping in Bicester Village as going to a sample sale if you're not about that life. For example, there's some stores in Bicester Village that just have like the most crazy discounts. Stella McCartney like is mental in Bicester Village, I think personally. And if you go during sale time, so really good tip for outlet shopping, if you're interested in outlet shopping,
do it.
Is don't go in sale times. Don't do it. So don't go January sales and don't go in summer sales. Go just after, because they do an extra additional sale. People go on Boxing Day and like New Year's Day and things and think that it's going to be like this massive Boxing Day sale, and 80% of the boutiques don't do a sale on Boxing Day.
Exactly.
But they psychologically think like, it's
and
Boxing
there,
Day, so
you're there,
we've got to buy something.
You've got some money in your pocket and you're like, do you know what? Okay, it's not as cheap as I thought it was, but I'll buy it. Just quickly, I want to ask Tam Tam, the pre-owned Mulberry was civilised when I went. Can I ask what day you went and kind of how deep into the sale or the end, the beginning, in the middle?
And how much stock did they have? Was it like racked up, or was it a bit more like a store experience? Just out of interest, because I would have liked to have gone.
Probably as a fashion thing.
Oh, what was I gonna say? Outlet shopping, you need to go after when you think the sales are over, go then.
Like, it's actually January, maybe, no?
End of January, I'd say. Yeah. Like, and you'll get massive discounts. Like, Anna Highmarsh. I went to Anna Highmarsh and day two.
So, that's what I was going to say. So, but day two, in my opinion, once again, see, everything's settled down. If you were there at day one... At the very beginning,
opening.
Like once again, which is the horrific time. That's what I'm trying to talk about. So you're right. I suppose what you're saying is there are periods which are quieter in as much as if you went kind of day two or midday, like even a few hours after opening, it's quieter. But the first day was madness.
My Christmas tradition is we go to Cardiff for Christmas. We've been going for the last, like, what?
4 or 5 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my...
Don't see your face up.
I was thinking how long we've been going there.
Yeah.
My Christmas tradition is on Boxing Day, I will be in that Vivienne Westwood shop and I will be shopping.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The Vivienne Westwood shop in Cardiff, for anyone who wants to know, on Boxing Day or during the sales is amazing. The reductions are ridiculous, and you won't even find, you'll find extra stuff that's not on the website. They've always got a really good stock because there's barely any Vivienne Westwood, like, flagship stores, that, like, main stores this way.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of the time, I think they're told, especially Vivienne Westwood, it's a very different retail situation. I think a lot of the time they're told that the stock they have, like, it needs to go through the store.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as in, so if it doesn't sell, I'm saying, full price, sell it to this guy.
I get the bargains in that shop. But did you buy anything of interest? Or did you see anything of note that, like, you thought, wow, that's a good deal? Or, because I find personally
even
that Mulberry's pre-owned offering is expensive. It's actually more than they had them for retail outlet, which I find bizarre.
I also think the actual product they have is mediocre at best in comparison to,
I think,
like,
they try and pick the icons, you know, like Alexa's and Bayswater's, and although the new Bayswater's collaboration that I haven't shown you yet is spectacular. They're taking pre-owned bags and they're, like, adding details to them,
like
extra handles and
that's
stuff
cool.
and embroidering
really cool.
into them. An Elgin.
Elgin.
Look,
yeah, okay, cool. What colour, out of curiosity, and what leather?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so either way, like you just said, it went late afternoon, midweek. I think that kind of is, if you want a kind of a nice experience, I guess, for what you're saying, is that's kind of the sweet spot.
That's a nice bag.
I guess one with the massive buckle, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Western style.
The tote? The tote. Anyway, sorry, that's completely beside the point. But yes, interesting. Sample sales is a really interesting subject, and a subject we get asked a lot about. And I think there's like this, like, element of mystery. And thanks to Sarah Jessica Parker and like, what's the one called? Confessions of a Shopaholic. I traded my and bought a black one. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, trading. That's fun.
470. That's nice. And once again, like, I think that's the thing. Like, if you can trade in and get some money back or a discount on the next one, I think it's very clever to do. And once again, they are. I say it all the time, but they're such a heritage brand. Like, there's some companies. If you look at something from 20 years ago, no one cares. But as much as, like, not everyone's into Mulberry, I know. But if you're a Mulberry head, like, 20 years ago, actually not that long for that brand. Whereas look at where, like, for example, I don't know, a proper fashion brand was 20 years ago. You know what I mean? It's very different visually.
I always think Valentino, fascinating fact is that one of the oldest fashion brands, everyone obviously assumes Hermes and Louis Vuitton and, you know, brands like that. But Loewe is older than them all.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed.
Confessions of a Shopaholic. Have you read the books? That you had to read the books in it. I'm sorry. I always wanted a silver Tiffany's bean because of that series of books, for anyone who cares.
Oh, yeah. And the thing. And just to let you know as well, Darwin leather is pretty much identical makeup-wise to a, like, the actual fat, like, the leather to MVT. MVT is just a newer name for it. They changed it for legal reasons. Darwin, they had an issue with owning the name Darwin, and that's why they changed it. True story.
There you go. Sample sales. If anyone has any further questions about sample sales, you can slide into our DMs at any point and wants to know our stalker accounts. Maybe we'll film. No, I don't know. We have to put our coats at the door, so I don't think we're filming one. Maybe we'll film going to one and coming out of one.
I think, do you know what? Like I said earlier, people, you can FaceTime because a lot of traders buy.
Or we can get those glasses at George.
Yeah, Thrifty Joe's has the most amazing Ray-Bans with cameras in them. They're just cool.
I was going to say. This is saved to a podcast, so if anyone wants to listen back or has missed it, it'd be saved to Grid, but it'll also be in podcast form over at The Hard Sell on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you stream from, Amazon.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. I sell on Amazon.
What's that? You sell on Amazon?
Yeah, because I sell my podcast. I don't sell it at all.
Get the Spy Glasses, do it. Yeah, I know, that's the what
spy
I'm saying.
Spy Glasses. It makes me think of Spy Kids, though. Like, yeah. Actually think of Spy Kids.
It is. They're really cool. And I was actually saying to George on the weekend that they bought new ones out, which, yeah, like, I'm just, maybe, you know.
Spy Glasses.
If you see me in the charity shops with sunglasses on, guys, and it's raining outside, you know why.
Anyway, thank you for listening, thank you for coming, thank you for watching, even if you didn't watch it all and you were going to chop back in, it's cool. We'll be back on Monday. We were sleepy, okay? And
it was a long weekend, guys. It was a great weekend, and thanks to anyone who we saw at the weekend, it was really cool.
Yeah, we'll be back next Monday, obviously, for Tag Talk, and we have actually started a new feature.
Hit me.
But I didn't want to say thing. On Poshmark, for anyone who joins us on Poshmark Lives, we're now going to do we're going to do a Wednesday morning show starting next week, because I realised it was Wednesday tomorrow and that scared the behezes out of me. So it's next Wednesday and it's Mornings with the Luxury Pickers. And we're going to do our share and sell shows.
Sell them, yeah.
On Wednesday mornings, like after the school run, we've like timed it like well, just when you're like settling down to do some listing or going sourcing or whatever, and you can come and try and, you know, we can try and sell something for you, maybe at the first sale of the day or something like that.
That's basically the idea. It's going to be us selling kind of pretty much zilch from us. It's going to be selling for other art based on other people, and we're just going to go with it in early morning and just see how it goes.
Yes.
Like we find ourselves tuning into a lot of different lives and stuff like that in the morning, kind of to get through our work if you want. So I thought put us on in the corner. If you like something, buy it. If you don't, cool. But either way, have a chat, get in the chat.
If not,
talk to us.
Saturday, 8 PM. And we've got really great things to sell. Gucci wallet is going up. Dolce & Gabbana sunglasses are going up.
Longchamp's going up. All black, special edition.
If you want a sneak preview, the YouTube video will be out tomorrow. And then you can view that and see what's going to go in.
Yeah.
Along with, obviously, a bulk load of clothing and things like that. Anyway, we're going to go now. I am super tired and I'm going to have some ice cream and a drink, okay?
That sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.